This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
See, did you hear that bumper music there? That was
that was not Christmas. That was Martin.
No, but it was all calming and that's soothing, right, and all that sort of stuff.
So if you're just waking up today,
that's right,
it's the George and Dennis Show.
That's right. And filling in for Aaron Flint today. Of course, if it were me, then that would have been some metal, some heavy metal, rock and roll, something.
Well,
like
I got
that.
I got a couple of Christmas songs in so far.
Go.
So yeah, good morning,
right,
Everybody.
Around and here, you just say what you want; it magically happens.
Right? It's yeah,
exactly. So we were talking about Ardent Healthcare Services and these hospitals that suffered this cyber attack.
Breaking news from George.
Yeah, exactly. So, and by the way I found out about this is a very good friend of mine suffered a stroke yesterday, had to go to the hospital, and that's where they found out that, well, there's not a lot we can do for you exactly because none of our computers are working. Everything's offline, right? So if you're the praying kind, say a little prayer for Jack. But that also is a reminder of just how much our lives, we depend on technology for everything.
And the cloud, what has that done to our world? Before this show, I was driving in and they were talking about the new world order and things like that. Well, the cloud puts all of that up there, and I don't know who's doing what with. There's got to be so much information that, what do you do with it all? There's a point where it becomes almost overwhelming, but they have ability to put it into columns and get the information they want at a click of a button.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, we got Tim in Billings on the line. Let's go to him and see what is on Tim's mind. What's on your mind, Tim? Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. If you wanted Christmas music and metal, you could listen to some Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
That's right.
There you go.
So you guys were talking about, information. Dennis said that, back when we were all kids, there were three stations, unless you're lucky enough to live in town and you might get cable from your local telephone company or whatever. But, Hillary Clinton is quoted as saying that, we are in an information war. And if the likes of Hillary Clinton are concerned about what information is out there, information overload is a good thing. Having as much information as you can get as possible is a good thing. When the CIA has Operation Mockingbird, where they're putting people into the journalistic fields, television, newspaper, radio, to control the information that goes out. When people like Hillary Clinton want to control the information overload is a good thing. I'm all about people getting to get all the information they want. With that being said, TikTok is not open and free information. It is curated. It is a social engineering tool. It is a tool by an adversarial country that's being used to demoralize and diminish American capabilities.
Yep. Hang on to that thought. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With considerable cloudiness and some partial sun around parts of the area today, we'll also see a chance for a late-day snow shower towards Bozeman. High temperatures from the mid-30s in Bozeman to about 41 in Billings. For tonight, there's a chance for some scattered snow showers in the Bozeman area early, otherwise staying cloudy elsewhere with a low temperature in the low to mid-20s. On Saturday, highs range from the upper 30s in Bozeman to the mid-40s in Billings. This is Weatherology Meteorologist Paul Fromm.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got Tim and Billings on the line. Tim, sorry I had to cut you off there for that break, but I don't know. That's how Aaron gets paid. So, gotta get those in there.
We got to keep him in a lifestyle he's accustomed to.
Keep him on the air, right? Pay those bills to keep Aaron on the air.
That's right. So go ahead.
So if Iran were to come out with a social media app and it was called Algebrainwashing, or Russia were to come out with one and it was called KGB bot, people in America would probably be like, wait a minute, I don't know that I want to be putting all my information on this. But because it comes from China, and we're so beholden to China, and most of our politicians are beholden to China, it's okay. This is not an open and free internet tool. This is a weaponized data collection and a social engineering tool. And so, I'm all for people being able to make up their own decision on what they want to consume and what they want to share. But at least, people should be aware of what they're dealing with. Know the devil that they're dealing with.
Know who you're giving your information to. Yeah.
Exactly right.
And we really don't know what they're going to do with that information ultimately. That's George and I were having that conversation. What do you ultimately do with this except for subtly change people's opinions? Because if all you're getting is feed that Hillary Clinton is so wonderful and so compassionate, well, then all of a sudden you start saying that over and over again.
Yeah.
You're known by the company you keep, and if you're forced into a certain company, that's going to be what you become. If you want to be successful, you hang out with successful people. If you want to be a derelict dirtbag drug dealer, go hang out with the derelict drug dealer dirtbags, and that's what you're going to become.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and, for something to be true, it just has to be repeated enough times that everybody believes it. So,
right.
Exactly.
Well, right. And that goes to Aaron Flint's show yesterday. Yeah. I mean, that's what he was talking about. It's not the first influencer. It's the second and the third, the fourth that repeat what the first person started.
Exactly. Well, Tim, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I hope you let me be the first, maybe today at least, to wish you a Merry Christmas.
There you go. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, gentlemen. Have a great and happy Freedom Friday.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. Take care. So, Tim's always got a good take on things. And, that's just it. The way this information is thrown at you, the one thing that I notice is nobody ever corrects incorrect information.
Right.
They just stop talking about it.
Yep.
So, that's why you can have politicians say one thing and then later say, I didn't say that. But newspapers used to print retractions when they printed something wrong, right?
Yeah.
Nah, they don't even do that.
No.
And so,
And that happened just, there was a headline a couple months ago and I was talking to Commissioner Don Jones and it was that Metro Park made all this money and they didn't. Well, their correction was, maybe the headline was misleading. Right. Well, no, it was wrong. Yeah, it was just wrong. Or we talk about, we were just pointing out this kid that's a Chiefs fan, and they put out this picture of what looks like a Caucasian kid with his face painted black wearing native headdress.
Because they took a picture from the side, right side, that only showed the black side.
Yeah,
of
so
his
then
face.
You take the full picture and you find out it's a kid that's got half red, half black, and is just supporting his team.
Yeah.
But they already started a narrative. So how do you pull that back? Well, like you said, some of them doubled down. Well, it's still wrong and bad. And others are like, oh, well, that would have been helpful information to see the whole picture. Right. And I think that's what we have to really pay attention to. Then Bongino he wears his face painted. I was waiting to come in here and see George with a half red, half black face. And
well, the Chiefs are my team.
Are they? So, okay. Yeah. So maybe next week we'll paint you up.
There you go. Well, it's
Travis.
Sad.
We could paint Travis.
Travis up. There you go.
There.
Get him participating in this show.
I know.
So, that's exactly what I was talking about is, they lied and created this narrative and created this story where there was no story. And then they don't apologize and they don't correct it and they don't say. But I tell you, they're going to pay.
Yeah.
I guarantee you they're going to pay because that family is going to sue them.
Yeah.
And they're going to win.
Well, and who knows what opportunities they just opened up for this family and this young boy that now
has paid for his college.
Right? This kid is going to have a future he never could have imagined.
Exactly.
But it goes to the type of information we're getting, how we're getting it, and who's feeding it to us.
Yes.
And, just like Tim said, that information isn't bad. I mean, there's a lot of information out there. But if you're getting fed bad information, then it skews your perception. All of a sudden, you take the other picture, and it's a full frontal that shows that's not what that was even close to being.
Right.
And you're like, well, that would have been helpful information.
Well, so, you know, they used to say a picture is worth a thousand words.
Right.
Except that pictures can so easily be manipulated now that you can't believe a picture.
Right. I mean, and it used to be, well, it was just a picture. Well, no, they can be photoshopped and everything else.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, it's easier
that picture of you that's out there with a six pack and, you know, arms of steel isn't quite the accurate.
I thought you meant a different six pack.
Yeah.
So you're right. And, you know, I have used AI recently because I'm really intrigued by that to do several things. One thing I did, I went online, I wrote something, then went online, put it into an AI generator, and it spit a poem out.
Really?
And it was a good one. So my words, their arrangement, but wow, was it good.
Triggered that. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's great. We'll talk about that a little more when we get back, because this one about pictures, too, can be very damaging to people. So you're going to want to quit posting all your pictures to Facebook when you hear this.
Oh.
Liberal Senator John Tester pretends to be just an everyday everyman, but yet he's racked up over $1.2 million in restaurant bills at fancy Washington, D.C. restaurants. You know, I'll tell you what, that's why I'm really glad I went through Billings' last diet. Because, you know, man, I got back from my last deployment, I was putting on the pounds and couldn't get them off. And, you know, the thing is when you get in that lifestyle where you just eat too much, it also gets to be really expensive, especially with the John Tester Biden inflation that we've got going on right now. So thanks to Billings' last diet, not only did I lose 33 pounds in under 3 months, I've kept it off 4 years later, but I'll bet you I've saved a lot of money. I've saved a lot of money where I'm not just going to get fast food because I feel like I need to eat right now. You save money, you lose weight. But more importantly, it's about your health. It's about being around for your kids and your grandkids. Check it out. It's the program that works. BillingsLastDiet.com or call 294-6751.
Are you the king?
Man, this is crazy. Can you believe it's already going to be December? That's right, Friday, December 1st. That is just crazy. Well, we got a special Freedom Friday show coming up for you here this Friday. Our good friend and Navy veteran, George Blackard, he'll be in the house with us for a special Freedom Friday of Montana Talks. We'll be taking your phone calls and much more, because Montana Talks is the show where you get to talk and you get a chance to be heard all across the great state of Montana. Phone number stays the same, 294-0970, statewide, 9 to 10.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
This week, I've been reporting from the 68th Montana Grain Growers Annual Convention, taking place at Montana Expo Park in Great Falls. And not only are there agriculture leaders from the Big Sky State in attendance, but from national organizations like the National Association of Wheat Growers and the National Barley Growers Association. And one of the farmer leaders from Fairfield, Montana, just happens to be the vice president of the National Barley Growers Association, and that's Mitch Conan, and he shares more on the importance of the Farm Bill for barley growers.
And making sure that all of the policies are lining up in favor of the farmers, and making sure our safety net is accounted for. Crop insurance is another big one that we're always looking at, and trying to make them programs better and make sure that everybody is covered under everything. Well, barley is a public sector crop, what they classify as a public sector crop, and it's used for feed, it's used for food, it's used for beer, and it's used for distillers as well. And so, I mean, we're covering the whole gamut of everything on that farm. So it's a crop that is we need to have out there for everybody just to make sure we have food security within the country.
And, of course, no barley, no beer. I'm Lane Nordland.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so you can't believe your eyes anymore. And so
trust but verify.
Exactly.
Trust but verify.
Exactly.
Really, so that's more important now than ever.
Yeah. So, you know, this AI stuff is pretty amazing because, like I say, I wrote something out and then I put it in there, copied, pasted it in there. And in like, I don't know, 10 seconds, it spit out a poem, and it was really good. And I was like, wow, how about that? So then I was looking at an article about deep fakes. And deep fakes is when you have a photo and you manipulate it to make it look like somebody's doing something, maybe that they aren't doing, that right. never happened. But they're so good that when you look at it, it looks like the real thing. And so all they have to do is go to your Facebook page, and if you don't have your settings set up properly, they'll just look through your photos, find the photo they want, and then take it and do whatever they want to with it. And that is why, you know,
the damage is done. If it's out there, you're trying to say, that's not me. Even if you prove, just like we were saying with the young Chiefs fan, even if you prove that's not what, I mean, they didn't even modify it. They just took it from a different angle. You're talking physically changing that picture, and there's all of a sudden, you know, you've got a whole new picture.
Yeah.
Your face is imposed on something else.
A new story there. And so that's why you got to go in and social media and make sure that you have your settings and set up in a way that just some random stranger can't go in there. And because, you know, a lot of people don't realize it. So they post their pictures to Facebook. Anybody can go in there and just download the picture.
Right.
You know, and it's dangerous to have all your information out there and do that. And so anyway, that AI is pretty interesting because now our government is relying on it for all manner of things. Mm-hmm. And this is where it gets pretty scary. It's being used in campaigns for speeches. I saw the other day they ran a story about that. Somebody used an AI generator to write their campaign speech. And the dangerous thing with that, if you ask me, is people have been writing speeches for other people for a long time.
Right.
But, you know, it's just one more thing where you don't know who that candidate really is.
I never had a speech writer.
I don't know.
What I said.
Your stage wasn't big enough yet.
Now look where I'm at now. Maybe I needed a speech writer.
Exactly. So, you know, what you're hearing is what this artificial intelligence.
Right. I mean, they used to do polls. What's polling and what's popular and what do you say and what you don't say. Now they can really print out a speech and you know, you've typed on even Word. It starts auto-filling your sentence before you're done. And you're like, well, actually, that does sound better.
Yeah.
You know, and so instead of going, no, I really want to say this, you go with what the computer was suggesting you say.
Right. Right. Well, that's true. And, you know, I use that. It'll say, be more concise, use less words or whatever.
Yeah.
Do it this way.
Yeah.
I'm like, that makes sense. I like that.
Yeah. I like the spell check.
Yeah.
I was never good at spelling.
Well, you know, hey, that's like, it does it for you. It does everything
for
you. I know.
It fixes it right away. So.
Exactly. Yeah. So that is troubling to me when you have politicians out there that, one, you can't believe half of what you see anyway or what they say. But now you've got computers helping them be somebody else. I don't know. It's kind of so you've probably noticed these John Tester and Tim Sheehy commercials.
Yep. We were talking about that. I've gotten.
Holy cow.
That advertising is starting
It's going
to keep Aaron in the lifestyle he's accustomed to because the ads are going to spend and the things they're going to say to about each other.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting because they do it in very clever ways,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's both sides. I'm not going to, I think there's one side that is a little more clever in disguising things. And they'll say my Republican colleagues.
Right.
Well, you're a Democrat. Let's just.
Yeah, exactly.
But when you say, well, you know, I'm doing all these things and I joined my Republican colleagues. Well.
Yeah. That's
you know, you're on the other team, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's just like the last time he was running, he said something like 13 bills. You know, he had 13 bills get passed in the time that he was there.
Uh-huh.
He didn't write any of those bills. All he did was co-sponsor them by adding his name to it, saying, I support this. He didn't write those bills. Yeah. I mean, but you wouldn't know that if you just watched the commercial, right? I went and looked it up, and I actually went and looked up every bill and looked up who the author was,
right,
who wrote it, who carried it, and then you see all the co-sponsors on there, right? So if he just agreed with one then and put his name on it, then that was his bill. Right. So... yeah.
Well, and you're doing your due diligence. And we got an email the other day from Dick Pence on Eva and,
yeah,
you know.
We're going to talk about that a little bit, I think. Okay. You think he'd be all right with that?
I think so.
All right. We'll talk about that more when we come back.
All right.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Thick black smoke seen at times over Gaza, signaling the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is over.
We're also hearing automatic gunfire, a sign of clashes on the ground. Remember, there could be thousands of Israeli soldiers there. The strongest strikes have been in the southern part of the Gaza Strip. That is a Hamas stronghold.
That's Fox's Greg Palkot in Tel Aviv. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
Around the world, 700 million people are chronically undernourished.
Speaking earlier today at the UN climate change event in Dubai, President Biden isn't going, but he was in the holiday spirit.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The lighting of the National Christmas tree at the White House. America was listening to Fox News.
And
wow,
that is that how was, that works. Right
we're
there.
Both grabbing for our headphones. But, wow, that ended. We were still counting down. We were making fun of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Exactly. I said he might as well start it at 100, you know, what kept him busy all day. So, let's see. I forgot what we were talking about. So
easily distracted this morning, dude. Sorry, we're out of our sync here. We're getting back into it a little
That's
bit.
That's right. Well, it's Freedom Friday.
7:30 in the morning.
Beautiful day out there.
Yeah, yep. All the sun's finally starting to
come up. I got a view.
You've got
west
a view, and I've got the sunrise headed. Oh,
yeah,
wow,
west pretty, towards the Beartooth. So
I open up a curtain here, though.
Hey,
I can't
so you know, I, a couple more messages here
okay.
On the Montana Talks app, and also if you want to be on the show, you can call in at 294-0970. So let's see, Sean and Shelby. I consider last night's debate to be the deep state debate, where you can pick your poison. Both of these candidates will do the bidding of someone other than the people. That's, mm-hmm. And you know what? I like that. That's a good point, Sean. I appreciate that call.
Well, follow the money.
Yeah.
You know, that becomes, that's one of the things I learned in politics is not only what the candidates are saying, but look at who's financing them, because that'll tell you a more accurate story
of what they're going to be.
Yeah,
about.
The hardest thing about fundraising was technically you don't owe them anything, but when people are writing checks to you, they don't do it just necessarily out of the kindness of their heart. They have an agenda, and they're expecting something ultimately in return.
Right. Well, we've got another message. Yeah. Here, I like this one. Okay. Amy and Helena. For Freedom Friday, we could use some good news. If you're looking for a great Christmas movie this year, download Jingle Smells on Rumble. It's only released on Rumble. It says this movie was produced and put out by ACLJ and other conservatives. Tons of great conservative actors and cameo appearances. Thanks, Amy, for that.
So Rumbles? I've
Rumble.
Never heard of
Rumble. Yeah, Rumble.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
In that Dan Bongino's platform.
Oh, is it?
That he was involved
oh,
with.
Oh, see? Yeah. Now that I'm showing my...
There you go. So we were talking about campaign commercials and John Tester and, you know, oh, my bill. Yeah, not really. So you got to Travis over there, 5'4".
See, Travis can distract us too.
He is.
People.
I know.
Call in and get us on track here, people.
Exactly. So the campaign commercials.
Uh-oh.
And he's
running the music on.
He is already.
You asked for that. What happened to our Christmas? We need some rock and Christmas.
I don't know about that. you know, we're going to regroup here. And
sorry, people. We just got to 7:30 and we derailed for a minute.
Exactly. We're going to talk. Oh, campaign commercials.
Campaign commercials.
I'll remember what that is this time.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So somebody asked me yesterday, they said, why don't we see campaign commercials where that just say, this is who I am, this is what I stand for, this is what I believe in, vote for me. And of course we know, because
doesn't work.
That doesn't sell.
Yeah.
That is not what people want to see. And so the reason we see all these really crappy campaign commercials is because that's what people demand.
Right.
That's what they want to see.
Yep. I always said that in campaigns, people voted for mud wrestlers, but then expected statesmen on the day after the election. I'm like, you trained them to pander to this.
Yeah.
Why do you think they would change if that's what got them elected? Why would you think they would even change and become then the statesman that you really were hoping for?
Right.
I mean, and we've talked about it. We all come with baggage. We all come with history and things like that. So, yeah, ultimately you get to the voting booth and you're going, okay, I got two. Either you don't vote, which unfortunately we see a lot of people just go, I'm not going to check the box.
Especially here.
Yeah. And you're like, well, no, that's not a good idea either. I mean, is it the lesser of two evils? Is it political philosophy that they say they adhere to?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I compare politics and sports a lot. And I'm like, just like we were talking, if you actually were playing football and you left to go help the other team midway through the game, How would that be perceived?
Yeah. Well,
you know, I mean, really, I'm not a sports fan. I call my son all the time going, I don't understand. Why did that football game look like more of a rugby game than a, I've never seen them throwing the ball backwards. Now they're doing something different. Did they change the rules?
And so, you know, this all started, I'm blaming Jerry Springer. Damn it.
Oh, you're going way back.
Well, yeah, because it's reality television.
There you go.
These campaign commercials are like a Jerry Springer show.
Yeah.
You know, people throwing chairs and stuff like that. And that's what.
Well, remember the campaign? He was running for Senate and they started putting him out like he was a clown or something. Remember that? Taylor. Wasn't it Taylor?
Oh, that was here.
Yeah.
In Montana.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a barber. Yeah.
But they put like a clown costume
on
him.
Well, they made him look, you know, other than,
yeah.
And it tanked him. It really did.
It really did.
Yeah, and it's frustrating. So I have a campaign commercial story for you.
Okay.
So one day, it was a few years ago, before the last election that John Tester got reelected. So my phone starts ringing, and it's right around Memorial Day. And the phone is ringing off the hook. And they're like, why are you doing a commercial for John Tester? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I have not done that. What are you talking about? And they're like, yep, it's all over TV. Campaign commercial. And I was like, all right, I got to find this thing, right?
Right.
Well, so it wasn't a, air quotes, campaign commercial. It was a Memorial Day commercial.
Oh. Okay?
You know how he panders to veterans. So it was a so-called Memorial Day message commercial, but everybody thought it was a campaign commercial because that's what it looked like, right?
Right.
Well, lo and behold, I'm watching the commercial, and there I am.
There you are.
And I'm wearing my American Legion cover uniform.
Yeah.
Got my kids with me, the whole nine yards, and it makes it look like I support John Tester, right? Well, first of all, they know they can't use VFW and American Legion personnel in uniform in their commercials. They can't do it. So they knew when they did that
this isn't going to be a campaign commercial. They justified in their mind that they were promoting
something else.
Something else.
But everybody thought.
Everybody said, no, that's.
It was a campaign commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it looks like a duck and walks like a duck.
Exactly. So I called him up and I said, you're going to have to take that commercial down now. Stop running it. And I said, I want it off your website. I want it off YouTube. I want it off all of these things. And they did.
What?
Oh, yeah.
You are that powerful?
Well, they knew they were wrong. See,
and they got called on it. Otherwise, somebody finally said something.
But again, thousands of people saw it.
Right.
So that's the thing. Well, I'm going to do it. And that's what Joe Biden does. He goes, I don't care what the Supreme Court said. I'm going to do it anyway. Or what he says is, I don't care if it is unconstitutional. I'm going to do it until the Supreme Court tells me I have to stop.
Isn't that just crazy? And then we wonder why there's chaos.
And that's exactly what they did. They know that was wrong, but they're going to do it anyway until somebody tells them to stop.
Yep.
And, you know, that should frighten everybody that our president, the president of the United States, who takes the highest oath for the highest office, says, I'm going to ignore the Constitution until somebody calls me on it.
Yeah.
And that's
you get those executive orders or whatever, and they're just that's the problem. Is we have an amazing system if we would let it work.
Oh, yeah.
But we find more ways to get around it and avoid it.
Politicians don't get rich if they follow the rules.
Yeah, you start following the rules, or you ask, well, what are the rules? And that's something I kept asking over the last decade. What are the rules? Let's play by the rules, not by what we think they should be or what we want them to be, or how do we manipulate them to get around them.
Right.
What are the rules?
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, when our politicians quit, our so-called representatives quit following the Constitution, and they do it on purpose, then we're in a world of hurt, and that's where we are right now. We're in a world of hurt.
But it goes back to what we talked to first thing this morning, too, was we're not educating. I mean, where's the class on government and constitutional law or whatever that should in high school? Where is the government class that says, here's what you guys should be expecting from your government? You're about to start voting. You know, when I was a kid, you know, in 84 in senior high school, we had the government class. We had to write a bill. We had to understand what it took to get a bill passed. We had to understand the Constitution and the limitations and the Roberts rules and how the, you know, now we don't even have decorum in half of our meetings because we don't even follow rules of there's a reason for Roberts rules. And it's not to be nitpicky it's to be able to manage a meeting in a civil way.
That's all it is, so you can get some stuff done. That's why the city council here in Billings used to have those meetings till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Because they didn't follow the rules. Everybody spoke longer than they should have, spoke more than once. We were trying to accommodate everybody, but that's not what these meetings are for.
Yeah.
You know, and that's...
And I used to always do the point of order. We're off topic or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was ironic what I saw in the council happen, which was interesting, is at one point we had limited public comment. You got 3 minutes. Well, the public started getting on to what they could do. So they write a 10-minute speech, but they'd have 4 people lined up.
And read.
And so where I stopped, then you pick up and keep reading, and then they would have their 10-minute message.
That's pretty smart.
Yeah, but, you know, was that really the spirit of what we were trying to do instead of telling them keep repeating the same thing over and over? They just got better at going with longer speeches, and then we were like, wow.
Innovation, we tried to fix it.
We were trying to shorten a meeting, and what we really did is give them the opportunity to give 20-minute speeches.
Yeah.
And as long as you had 5 friends that could read.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's sad that...
But politicians do the same thing. I mean, they figure out ways of, well, we're going to stop public comment, or we're not going to listen, or we can't engage, or, you know, whatever.
They're always doing something to manipulate the meeting to get the outcome that they want.
Yeah.
You know,
load the room with the people that are going to yell and scream or whatever. And then it looks like the whole world is against you. They called them and had them be there.
So... You know, it's all manipulation and deception and
and like you said, we'll go back to the original point of the campaign that's coming up for the Senate seat. You know, you're going to have to do your research. If you just believe the commercials and at face value, then, you know, to an extent, shame on you.
Yeah, that's what
do your research. Find out what the candidates really believe, what they're doing, where their money's at, who's paying for it. And what the agenda is.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, if they say they're going to end, you know, the war on drugs the minute they get into office, maybe not.
Yeah.
You know, or they're going to totally secure the southern border. by yourself, really?
Right. Because
there's a bunch of them that haven't done it, and they've been there.
Yeah. Well, and we should all be furious about that. Because,
right.
You know, that's like one of their only real jobs.
Yeah.
It's really. I mean.
You go back to, you go, okay, your basic job is to keep us safe.
Yeah.
And, you know, and to keep the border secure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That should be your priority. All and the rest of this is fluff, and it's nice, and it's busy work, and it's distracting, but. Yeah, what is your, when you raised your right hand, what did you promise to protect?
Yeah, so, you know, that's just it. So I saw the other day, you know, the Supreme Court told Joe Biden that you can't forgive all the student loan debt.
Oh.
So he went around it and just did it a different way.
Oh.
So, you know, he was going to get it done one way or the other.
Right.
And he didn't care what the Supreme Court said. He'd figure out a way to do it, and he did. And they forgave a bunch of student loans just the other day. So that's what I'm talking about. You know, just let's just skirt the law. Let's go around it. Let's find a loophole. Let's, you know,
yep.
even though you're not
and the Billings City Council is doing it. I talked to the, we're done. We'll be back.
News commentary.
Hunter Biden agrees to testify in front of House oversight about his father's alleged involvement in his shady business dealings. Could this be the moment he throws old Pop under the bus? I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Dana Perino, co-host of The Five and co-anchor of America's Newsroom. Join me for my brand new podcast, Perino on Politics. Every Monday, I'm going to talk to people I trust in politics as they tell me what they're seeing and thinking in the 2024 election cycle. This week on Perino on Politics, I talk with my very good friend, Karl Rove, and we talk all things that you need to know to be the smartest person at the holiday party if anyone asks you about politics. Available now on Apple, Spotify, and FoxNewsPodcast.com.
Christmas has come early for House Republicans and all of us who give a damn about the integrity of the Oval Office, because Hunter Biden will comply with a subpoena issued by House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer to testify about those overseas business dealings and, more importantly, his father's alleged involvement. Here's the kicker. Hunter wants the testimony to be public. That's right. Hunter wants it to be public. I did not have that on my bingo card. House oversight leaders insist that the first deposition follows the precedent of being closed door, but Comer agreed that Hunter should at some point testify publicly. Hunter is a confident man, I'll give him that, but I wonder, if the heat gets high enough, would Hunter sell out the big guy, the brand, to save his own hide? This thing could go sideways for Joe, and I've got my popcorn ready. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show Tommy Lahren is Fearless at Outkick.com.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit Underage Drinking.
Casting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So,
oh, I was in the middle of a sentence, wasn't I? Well, sorry about that. I was on a rant, but, you know, it was like we were just talking, and I finished my sentence with you. I'll finish it on air, but, you know, I talked to one of the council members yesterday. Then in Billings, they'd put that park and rec bond out, and it failed. It failed miserably.
Miserably.
Yes. I mean, it wasn't even a, no, it was a heck no.
Oh, but but there will be people in our city government that go, we can get this done. They didn't mean it,
no, you know.
They didn't know what they were doing.
You know, and unfortunately, they threw out the baby with the bat. They put it all together, you know. Instead of a bond and a levy, they put them both as one package deal. So now you're left with a city government trying to figure out how do they do it anyway.
That's what we've been talking about. Oh, the people spoke, but we're not going to listen to them.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And what's going to be the price, or what do we really have to do to get this to happen?
Yeah.
And, you know, in a sense, maybe it challenges them to have to look at the private industry or to look at other methods instead of just taxing people to get it.
Well, here's what I noticed in that when they saw the picture of the people that were pushing for this thing, right? All those people were filthy rich. They got lots of money, right? They don't care that you and I are going to have to pay an extra $200 or $300 a year in property tax. They don't care.
Right.
They can afford it. In fact, you know what? If they want it that bad, why don't they finance it? Let them just pay for it. You know, if they want to be these stewards of our community and they want to be these, you know, charitable type of people. But you, to them, it doesn't mean anything.
Right. And maybe what the people are starting to finally say by saying no to some of this is, where can private industry step in and do it? What can they do it better? I mean, government's only supposed to be there if to provide a greater public good that for some reason the private industry can't provide.
Well,
so you get into water, sewer, that kind of stuff. I get that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was some of the debate out at Metro Park. What should we be doing and what shouldn't we be doing when there's five venues in town that are providing concerts and they're doing things? Is that really the role of government to be in competition with our private people?
Yeah. Oh, but you can't ask questions, Dennis.
Yeah.
You saw what happened.
I saw what happened when you did that.
When you were trying to do due diligence just to say, you know what? We just want to know what this looks like. We want some information so that we can make an informed decision. You know, your cohorts there turned that against you as in you were trying to get this done.
Well, right.
No, he was just asking questions. And
what if it would have turned out to have worked?
Yeah. You know? Oh, God.
God forbid that, you know, we actually got it off a tax subsidy and actually did some things.
Well, who knows?
But, you know.
I'll tell you one thing, though. They're really bad at presenting things. So, for instance, you know, these two lakes they want to build on the west end of town to help support our water supply, right?
Yep.
You know, I would vote for something like that if they just said, we need more water, this is what we need to do to have it.
Right.
And
the byproduct is, you're going to get this cool lake. But that's a side part. We're selling a lake the water.
Yes. Yeah. They sold it the other way.
That
pictures of people kayaking on this and trails around. I tell you what, I'm sick and tired of these trails. But anyway,
that's a whole other show.
Yeah. But they have the, you know, all of this, and that's what they were selling, not the fact that we need water. They were selling a park.
Because Montana understands, you've got to capture your water rights or they flow downstream. I mean, it's a simple sell. We need to capture our water. We have like the first or second water rights on the Yellowstone. And most of it flows past us.
Yeah.
I mean, once on the council, we were talking about this reservoir. There used to be the Calamity Jane idea. There's a place up north where we could have captured water.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way we're going to be sustainable is to be able to capture our water rights and keep it.
Yeah.
And that's what lakes are supposed to be about is that. Now, the byproduct of you get a pond or you get a recreational facility out of it, Yellowtail Dam wasn't built for me to go up there and catch walleye and sauger and bass. It was flood control, mm-hmm. and it was electricity. Now, the byproduct of it is a really cool place to go fishing.
Yeah.
But that's not how it was sold. It wasn't, even back then, it wasn't sold. It was like water control, flood control. Yep, we get it.
Right. See,
why not be honest and upfront about really what we're doing? I mean, it's an incredible project.
Yeah, well, they haven't learned anything over the decades about how to sell stuff to people in Yellowstone County because they keep failing miserably because they present it the wrong way. But I don't want to help them out too much because I don't want them to take any more of my money.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.